The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Is there more than one condition, as some teach, to acquire eternal salvation? What about having a contrite heart or repentance or obedience? And how do these, as opposed to simple belief, contribute to a lack of assurance of salvation? Thank you, friend, for joining us today. This is Grace in Focus. We are a radio ministry and a podcast from the Grace Evangelical Society. Find out more about us at faithalone.org, and we'd love you to also subscribe to our YouTube channel. It is YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. We produce 2 to 3 new videos each week, and we'd love for you to subscribe and receive them and like them. It is YouTube Grace Evangelical Society, and our website again, faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Sam Marr.
All right, Sam, I think you have a question that's an interesting one. I wrote my doctoral dissertation on repentance, and I think Steve has had some dialogue with his pastor about that issue.
Yeah, basically, he says, my pastor confuses me about what seems to be conditions to have a heart of contrition that is followed by some outward sign of repentance before a person can genuinely be born again. So he was asking his pastor about, you know, what it takes to be born again, and these seem to be conditions that his pastor is laying on being born again. You have to have a heart of contrition followed by some outward sign of repentance.
This type of question grieves me greatly. Part of the reason it grieves me is because this hits so close to my own personal story. As many of you know, if you've listened to this show, I came from a background where I was in a holiness, sinless perfection group. And this group taught you had to turn from your sins, you had to have ongoing repentance that would be typically for years. And during that time, you're seeking to please God, you're following Christ, and then at some point, when God decided you were ready, you could then go forward at a church service and be born again. And according to this group I was in, you had to remain sinless in order to keep your salvation. According to this view, if you committed one sin after being born again, you lost your salvation and you could never get it back. So what I'm hearing Steve say is that basically his pastor's teaching on contrition and signs of repentance has robbed him of assurance of his salvation. Or at least it's caused him to doubt his salvation, which to me is the same thing. If Steve doubts that he's born again, then he's no longer certain that he's born again. Now, maybe he hasn't gotten to that point, but the key here is to recognize that John 3:16 doesn't mention contrition. It doesn't mention signs of repentance. And guess what? The entire Gospel of John does not mention repentance. It doesn't mention signs of repentance, and it doesn't mention contrition. That's the only evangelistic book in the Bible, John 20:31. And it's real clear that there's only one condition of being born again and eternally secure, and that's believing in the Lord Jesus Christ for what he promises, which is everlasting life that can never be lost. So Steve's question is a great one, and I think it's a cautionary tale. I think it's vitally important that you're crystal clear that we are not born again by contrition. Did you notice that Steve said his pastor teaches that you have to have both contrition and signs of repentance before you could be saved?
He provided a little bit of a conversation he had with his pastor, and his argument for repentance seems to be, which I've heard this before, repentance isn't a work that leads to salvation, but it's the necessary evidence that salvation has taken place. If there's no repentance, there's no fully transformed heart, then everlasting life has not yet taken place.
Did you notice the pastor saying two different things? It sounds like, in other words, number one, before you can be saved, you have to have signs of repentance. But then isn't the pastor also saying that repentance is something which is evidence that salvation has already taken place?
Right.
How can it be both? In other words, if it's a condition, well, then that's something which must precede the new birth. Now, I suppose you could say it's both, especially maybe his pastor holds to the view that you can lose your salvation. And in that case, you have to have ongoing repentance to prove you're still saved. But if you believe in once saved, always saved, then once I meet the condition, I'm saved forever, right?
Right.
So therefore, let's say I'm in a Baptist church that teaches once saved, always saved. And some Baptist churches, unfortunately, teach something like this. We're born again or justified by faith alone, apart from works. So if you repent and believe, you will be justified or saved forever. And they don't seem to understand. They just contradicted themselves.
Right. Or you have on the other side, you know, once saved, always saved, once you believe, but I haven't seen you repent yet. So how can I know that you believe?
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace in Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org.
This pastor's focus seems to be on knowing whether other people are saved, not teaching them how to be saved, how to have everlasting life. And I think that is such a widespread problem of hyper-fixating on, it doesn't really look to me like you've been born again yet, so I think you might need a second rinse, or you need to, you
a know, second rinse? Is this like washing your hair?
Yeah, your Methodist baptism wasn't enough. You need a full submersion baptism in my Baptist church. Now, that's hyperbolic, but I think that is the root of the problem. He's probably sure of his salvation, and he probably believed the gospel message. He probably believed in Jesus Christ for everlasting life that can never be lost. But now, as a pastor, he's so concerned about, is my flock really saved? Because it looks like they're sinners, but they're supposed to be born again. And so I think that is the problem of why he has this confused teaching of repenting and confessing and all these things, because those are the physical outward signs of someone who's born again. So if he doesn't see them yet, then clearly they're not born again.
Yeah, but see, the problem there is I would not doubt that at some point in the past, his pastor may have believed in the free gift of eternal life. But if he's teaching the way he's teaching now, he doesn't believe it anymore. Because if he says, I need to see the evidence to prove you're genuinely saved, that's also true of the pastor, right?
Right.
In other words, the pastor has to see it in his own life. So what happens if the pastor commits an affair? What happens when they find themselves the person who is guilty of years of an affair? Wouldn't they doubt their own salvation?
Yeah, because they've built their foundation on the sand, like we've talked about. That's a shaky, they probably do have assurance, but it's built on their works. So as long as they're doing good works, they're like, yeah, of course I'm saved. But then as soon as they, you know, fail in their own eyes, and then they see, you know, I'm still a sinner, I've still got this. Now they're like, I don't know if I was saved, or I don't know if I repented enough.
Okay, so here's where this comes down to. If their assurance is conditioned on their continued good works, then they no longer believe John 3:16, if they ever did in the past. You know, you mentioned that this pastor is not teaching how to be saved. Instead, he's teaching how to be assured. What I would argue is, if you're teaching how to be assured, you're teaching how to be saved. So in other words, if you say in order to be assured, you have to do X, Y, and Z, then that's how you're born again. If he says in order to be assured, you have to have, let's say, contrition, and you have to have evidence of repentance, well, then that contrition and evidence of repentance, those are the conditions of being born again. Ultimately, the real danger here is, this reminds me of James 3:1. The real danger is that we can be leading other people astray.
Mm-hmm.
Some people call this spiritual abuse. Now, spiritual abuse can be lots of different things, right? It can be a pastor who is basically milking his church for money. Mm-hmm. It could be a pastor who is being very authoritarian, that kind of thing. But it can also be someone who is giving false teaching, even though they mean well. And that's a form of spiritual abuse. And James 3:1 says, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, for as such we will incur a stricter judgment." I think what that's saying is, at the judgment seat of Christ, every born-again person will be judged, and part of our judgment is going to be based on what we've taught.
Mm-hmm.
And those who are the formal teachers in the local church, which would have been elders in the first century, today we would call them pastors, or maybe elders or deacons, those people are going to be more accountable than everybody else because they teach the Bible more. So I think Steve's pastor needs to think about James 3:1 and needs to get on the right track, because if we're not teaching correctly on assurance and how a person is born again, well, then the very foundation of what we're teaching is flawed. We're not really building on Christ, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3. We're building on Christ plus our works.
Mm-hmm.
Not only is our salvation by faith alone in Christ, but even our sanctification is built on the fact that the way our lives are transformed is not by our gutting it out. We're transformed by the Word of God changing our thinking. Now, admittedly, there is effort involved there because I do need to go to church. I do need to hear the Word of God taught. I do need to think and meditate on the Word of God in order to have my mind renewed and my life changed. But still, it's not ultimately about my works. It's ultimately about continuing to believe what God has said. I just love this question, Steve. I hope you will continue to tune in, listen to our radio program, and I hope you'll go to faithalone.org and read more. I have a book called Secure and Sure. It's all about assurance. I have a booklet also about assurance. You might want to check those out. The booklet's available free. You can read it online in, I think, about 7 different languages. So, well, thanks so much, Steve, and thanks to all of you. Sam, what are we supposed to remember?
Keep grace in focus.
Amen. Thanks again.
Read many from our library of thousands of free magazine and journal articles online at faithalone.org/resources. That's faithalone.org. Did you miss an episode of Grace in Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We have all our past episodes right there on the site. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We hope you have a great weekend. Tune in Monday for a discussion about the law of liberty in James. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.